Good evening and welcome to another episode of Inside the FLX. I'm Josh Durso and we are coming to you from the FingerLakes1.com studio in downtown Seneca Falls. Education is the subject of today's show as Terry Bavis, incoming superintendent of Waterloo Schools, joins us in studio ahead of her July 1st start date. Terry, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So, first off, you're not from the immediate area. Let's start off with a little, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into education and your career started and everything like that.
I grew up in Henrietta. Mm-hmm. I'm a graduate of Rush Henrietta Roth High School. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be a teacher. I went to MCC for 2 years in Nazareth College, got my undergraduate degree, started teaching in 1987. Taught for about 13 years and went back to get my administrative degree. I was interested in curriculum development, so I became a curriculum specialist at Genesee Valley BOCES, then was offered a position of director of curriculum and instruction at Perry Central School District. I stayed there for a few years, was director of curriculum and instruction and then middle school principal, and then left there to come to Penfield to be the elementary principal at Indian Landing, and I've been there for the last 11 years.
Now, was there anything particular that drew you to Waterloo, or was it just sort of, as the opportunity presented itself, it looked like a good opportunity?
Well, I was interested in the superintendency. I've been interested in the superintendency for probably about a year. And my husband is actually the superintendent in Marion. He was just hired in November up there. Mm-hmm. So I need to stay in the vicinity. I am partial to water. I love being around lakes. We mm-hmm. had a home up on Lake Ontario. It was actually my husband's family's cottage that we sold recently because we were too busy to stay up there. So when Waterloo came up, it sounded like a neat place. My dad actually had a friend whose name was Tom Andrews, who lived in Waterloo for quite a few years mm-hmm. and always spoke very highly of the area. My dad's from Pennsylvania, so it was a similar town to his hometown. So when the position became available, I applied, and I went to Mass to check it out, mm-hmm. and I really liked the church, and the people seemed very friendly. And then I went to a concert, and mm-hmm. I was very impressed with the concert. I was very impressed with the staff at the concert and how they spoke to the community. I was very impressed with the students' behavior, the caliber of music. It was just a really nice event. I think I got my first interview right after the second concert that I attended. First, I attended a band concert, and then I went to the choral concert mm-hmm. at the high school. And same experience, just wonderful people, very friendly, very well done.
Now, what was the, from your perspective, what was the process like? Like, was it a long, grueling process, or did it feel like it moved right along really, seemed like, kind of quickly?
It was a very quick process. Actually, the process to become superintendent in Waterloo was about half the amount of time that I spent becoming the principal in Penfield. I went from one interview 1 week to the finalist the next week to would you like the position to settling the contract. Everything happened within about 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So it was very quick.
Now, have you had to go out yet? Have you had a chance, really, I guess would be my question, to go out and meet with, you've obviously seen some of the students, some of the mm-hmm. Faculty. What any elected officials or anyone from the community itself that you've had a chance to meet with yet?
Well, I met with the mayor yesterday, mm-hmm. and I also met with, Don Northrup. Yesterday we went through the Main Street building with John Butlack, the president of the board. Mm-hmm. I have lunch actually planned with the police chief and Rod Kraft uh-huh. first part of May. And I've met with several of the administrators. I've met with Terry McNabb, the outgoing superintendent, and he and I had a lengthy conversation a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I met with John Nicoletti, the assistant superintendent for curriculum, yesterday. Mm-hmm. I've been to some sporting events, went to a baseball and softball game yesterday. I plan to go back to the fields. I understand there's a lacrosse game going on right now, so I'll go back tonight. And I have quite a few school events on my calendar for the next couple of months.
Now, has that kind of been kind of trying to keep up a schedule? Because you are still the acting principal at Indian Landing.
Yes,
and
I am.
And you're kind of like hybriding both, right? Has that been like a tough transition, or is it just kind of like you're going 24/7 and you just live with it?
It's been busy. Mm-hmm. fortunately, this month isn't as busy at elementary school, so mm-hmm. it's been easier for me to kind of get out to Waterloo, and that's why I've sort of been pushing forward with trying to meet as many people as I can, because come May and June, there are more events that I need to attend in my own homeschool. But I plan to get out here as often as I can. I know opening of Little League is Saturday, and the junior prom is Saturday night. I plan to be at both of those events, and back to Mass on Sunday. So it's been, I've met a ton of people, actually. It's a very, very friendly, nice yeah. community. It's been an absolute pleasure to get to know people, and I'm really looking forward to starting on July 1st.
So now I guess my question, the next logical question would be, what has it been like, or what do you think it will be like, or even if you've talked to other people, what sort of is the challenge or the difference between perceived larger market going towards Rochester compared to what is a clearly more rural area in Seneca County?
Well, I was in Perry for 4 years as director of curriculum and instruction. I also taught at Pavilion. Mm-hmm. I taught in Livonia. So, and I lived in Livonia for a couple of years. We actually built a home out there. So I have been in rural communities, and I sort of grew up in a rural community. My dad's hometown is in Pennsylvania. We were there all the time visiting yeah. my grandparents and extended family. I was just there this weekend. My Aunt Agnes turned 92 on Saturday, so I was down there and visiting them. I've said this to other people, it feels kind of like coming home to me, because when I go to my dad's hometown, it feels like home. You know, Henrietta was a great place for me to grow up. I was like a second generation person, because I raised my own two boys in Henrietta. Mm-hmm. It's big, but since I had been around for a while, I knew a lot of people. But the small town uniqueness of Waterloo is very attractive to me, and I really enjoy the community here. So I don't know that it'll be a big transition for me, because I've sort of grown up in towns even smaller than that, Weedville, Pennsylvania, Penfield, Pennsylvania, some mm-hmm. very tiny places where my family's from, and I enjoy that kind of life.
So this is going to be one of the more this was one of the more interesting things, I think, when I was going through reading a little bit about you and doing some background. The fact that your husband does also, you do the exact same thing now. Mm-hmm. Like, what has that, and he's in his first year right yes. now currently. Mm-hmm. What has that sort of been like over the last couple of years? Clearly you had the same aspirations. Mm-hmm. Does that make sort of the schedule of madness a little easier, or is it kind of more challenging to get together on various things?
Well, it's actually easier for me, because my two children are out of the nest. I have a first year graduate student at William and Mary Law School, and then my younger son Jake is a sophomore at Arizona State University. Mm-hmm. My husband has two children, my two stepchildren, who attend high school in Victor, so he's a little busier than I am.
So heading into your tenure at Waterloo, what do you think some of the challenges might be in a district like, and I would imagine you can almost cookie cutter some of the typical issues that you'll find at any school district in New York State. What are sort of your expectations for heading into this next year?
Well, similarly, anytime you start a job, you need to learn about the people, you need to learn about the community, you need to build relationships, take your time getting to know what things are in place, being patient about, you know, the board obviously has ideas about what they'd like to see in Waterloo, so trying to balance those kinds of goals and objectives with what's currently there, and helping people along the way try to meet those. I worked for John Carlovati, who was the superintendent in Penfield for 3 years. He was a terrific guy. And one of the things he said about district office, which I think gets lost sometimes, is that he felt district office was there to complete the work of the building principal, not compete with it. Mm-hmm. And I always appreciated that when John was at the helm in Penfield, and I certainly appreciate that now as a superintendent, that my job is really to provide the resources and the time to help people achieve their goals within the district.
I was going to say, what is sort of the hallmark piece of advice that you have been given thus far? I'm sure everyone that you know and everyone that you work with has been willing to give you their 2 cents about, you know, how you should tackle the first year, but what's any of it stand out in particular?
No, I think I've covered it. I think be patient, mm-hmm. you know, take your time, get to know people, get to know the culture, get to know the community, and just enjoy the process. And I wouldn't call it, I mean, it's not to me a challenge in a bad way. I think it's a challenge in a good way, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to. Student achievement and improving student achievement is something that I've been interested in, obviously, as a teacher, and it's continued on through my career. And we've had really good success in Penfield. We had really good success and growth in Perry when I was there. And I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of really great people who understand how to improve student achievement.
Now, over your years in education as a whole, what has been your take on just seeing how things have evolved in just across the board? Obviously, things are very different now in present day than they were 20 years ago, just with technology and things like that. But what sort of stands out to you as the thing that has kind of changed the most in that last, since, well, throughout your career?
I just think the world in general has changed a lot, and students today are competing in a global economy that didn't used to be the case 20 years ago. And I think it's very important to try to balance that with the fact that you're still dealing with children. So making sure that you're keeping an eye on a balanced program that provides children lots of opportunities, and that you don't get caught up in only the academic focus. Like, there are other pieces to the program that are very important. And I think it's important to always keep in mind, especially at the younger levels, the developmental appropriateness of some of the things that we're asking kids to do, and making sure that you're providing a well-rounded program that's got good, solid common assessments, so you're making sure you're keeping your eye on student growth at all times, but also making sure that there's a balance in place.
Now, being in administration, do you ever feel like there's sort of an overwhelming focus on standardized testing and things like that, where the focus really should be more spread out on a multitude of factors? Or do you think that that's just kind of the perception of people outside of education? They see it in the news all the time, so they just assume that's what everyone's focusing on.
Well, obviously, with the Common Core standards and the updated assessments that we were expected to put into place really rapidly, I think that was really hard for teachers to take. And then coupling it with teacher evaluation and principal evaluation was something that upset people. So I think sort of taking a step back, everything in Common Core is not a bad thing. Increased rigor is not a bad thing. But again, making sure that you're really taking a hard look at what's being asked and tempering it with the fact that you're dealing with people's children, and you need to make sure that you're taking care of them along the way too.
Now, it isn't obviously one of the many things that have changed over the last, say, 5-10 years is the heroin epidemic. Your experience at Penfield, obviously, probably not too heavily in that neighborhood, probably not at all, given the fact that you're talking about an elementary school, but you've obviously seen the change that's taken place throughout the whole region on that front. What's sort of your take on that, and what schools are doing, and what else districts could do to possibly help curb back that problem?
Well, again, I think, you know, making sure that you're providing, in the hierarchy of needs of children, do they have adequate food, shelter, clothing? Are their emotional needs being met? What are some of the things that might be missing in their life that might cause them to turn to things like that? And making sure that you try to provide that kind of environment in school if families are struggling to provide that at home. I think it's really important to make sure that you provide a lot of options. Again, that whole well-rounded program for kids, so they have things to do after school, so they're safe, so they're being monitored, so they don't have free time to get into things, maybe if they're not being supervised, that could lead them in a bad direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as leadership goes, one of the things that we had talked about before was describe your leadership style in a sentence or a couple sentences. What sort of approach do you take to being a leader as a whole, now that obviously you are leading an entire district?
Well, I think I've always tried to remember what it's like to be a teacher and what it's like to be a student. Mm-hmm. And I don't ever want to lose sight of that. Again, my role is to support kids, to support families, to support the teaching staff, the district office staff. And I think to be administratively friendly, I mean, certainly there are decisions that have to be made that everybody isn't going to be happy with. I think if you're keeping everybody's best interest in mind, and making decisions with kids at the center of the decisions that you make, then you really can't go wrong.
So What is your take on technology has sort of inserted itself even into the educational process? People learn with their devices in front of them now. What kind of challenge does that pose for anyone in education, a teacher, administrator, whatever the case may be? What kind of pressure does that put? I mean, it's a weird balance, right?
Well, I think the kids are the natives of the technology. They understand it better than most of the adults do, and I think it's important to try to build that into what you're doing instead of trying to fight against it. So it's trying to figure out how to manage the technology and use it to your advantage for instructional purposes, social purposes, whatever the purpose is. So it's a positive additive to the instruction rather than something that detracts from it.
Now, what do you think are some of the looking at the whole region, obviously you have a pretty wide scope of, you've been towards Rochester, been south, been now in Waterloo. What is sort of your take on the direction that the shift in students? Like you said, they're the children of the technology, so to speak. What sort of personality shift have you seen change with, like, bullying and things like that? Schools obviously have to do way more now to sort of curb that before it happens, right?
Well, I don't know that I've seen a huge shift in that. I think it's something that's always been present. It's been present in different places. Like, maybe kids aren't on the playground as much as they used to be after school when I was a kid, but they might be bullying each other through social media instead. So I don't know that it's necessarily changed a lot other than the medium through which kids might not be nice to each other.
Mm-hmm. So funding, money, it's always a topic in New York and political space, the whole nine yards. What sort of challenges do you think could be presented in the future in the area or just in general? Is there anything that concerns you about having to do more with less, so to speak, in schools as a whole?
I think in Waterloo, people are very fortunate. In Penfield, we have a really talented business official. Dr. Mark Santucci has been there for a long time. There's been a lot of stability there. I think in Waterloo, you've had a lot of stability. I mean, Terry McNabb has done a nice job with budgets there. Joanne Slauson is the business administrator, is obviously very creative and has done a nice job because Waterloo's in really good shape financially. And there's nine years ago, things were not so rosy. So Waterloo's done a nice job making sure that they were taking care of their financial resources and sort of prepared for the rainy day, and they weathered that day, and now they're in good shape financially.
Now, what was your, not too long ago, probably about 5 or 6, 7, 8 years ago, they had the new high school built. What was your first impression of that facility when you came to it? Because I have to admit, most people, when they see it, when they encounter it for the first time, it's you wouldn't expect it in a rural setting at all. What was sort of your first impression of that when you encountered it?
I was thoroughly impressed. Actually, my first time actually seeing it was on a Sunday, and then I had gone to a concert that was inside the high school, so I hadn't seen the gymnasium field house portion early on. I went to the first concert that I went to was actually in the old gymnasium, and then the second concert was in the high school auditorium, and just a beautiful facility. It's obviously was very well planned out. The athletic facility, Jeff Panic took me through, you know, every storage area in the locker rooms and just talked about how Joe Sposato had taken a lot of time to really think through that project and making sure that that component was really well taken care of. And again, I mean, the facility itself is absolutely gorgeous, but what even impresses me more than that, because, you know, it's not, you know, not that it's easy, but you can build a nice building, but I am thoroughly impressed every single time I walk into that school at how well taken care of it is. Mm-hmm. There's obviously a lot of pride in the district. You can tell that the maintenance staff, the buildings and grounds, the custodial staff has a lot of pride in the work that they do because that building shines. The floors gleam. Everything's always picked up. It's very nicely maintained. And, you know, I've talked with Jeff Mochin about that several times already because every time I go in there, it's just amazing how well kept that place is.
Now, and that's something that, seeing as many schools as you probably have in your career, that's something that can probably pretty easily slide, I would assume.
Yes, it can. And I think, you know, I've been sort of spoiled in Penfield because Dave Cox is our head custodian and the building is in absolutely spectacular shape. And it's an older building. He works really hard to keep it that way. So I know the kind of elbow grease that goes into keeping a building looking nice. And all the buildings that I've been in every building. I've been to the transportation department, been everywhere. And every single building is maintained very, very well. And that's just plain old hard work. Mm-hmm. So it's obvious there's a lot of pride in the community. There are high expectations for the facilities and how the facilities are presented to the community. And I think it speaks very highly of the staff there and the expectations.
And I would say that sort of seems to be the one thing that you keep going back to is that you really rank having the right people in place above almost everything else. Just if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, the people are the heart of the organization, and taking care of the people is the most important job I think the superintendent has. You know, there's safety, there's student achievement. It's all about people. It's all about making sure that you're retaining people, that you're making people feel good about what they do every day, that you value them, that you value their work, and that you're making sure that they're happy. You know, nothing makes me more sad than either when I have a child who comes in and they're unhappy or I have a teacher or a staff member who's not feeling good about things. And I think that's, you know, obviously from a building administrator's perspective, something that you always have your finger on the pulse. And that's one thing that will be important to me from the superintendent's office also.
What would be your, before we get you out of here, what would be your parting message to residents, students, faculty?
Well, I will say that one of the things, I really had a great education in Rush Henrietta, but one of the things I will say is that I never knew the superintendent. I could never have picked the superintendent out of a lineup. I didn't meet the superintendent until I walked across the stage and he handed me my diploma. And it's not a criticism, that was just the reality of that district, and I think that's a reality of being a superintendent in a large district. What is very enticing to me about being a superintendent in a smaller district is it will be my ability to be present in the buildings, to be accessible to students and staff and families, and to make sure that people know who I am. One of the great pleasures that I have in my elementary position right now is I know every child's name, their dogs, their brothers and sisters, what they play hockey or they dance or whatever. I know the parents real well. I'm on the bus loop every day, you know, I'm around so people know who I am. And that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to in Waterloo. It will be a challenge because there are 1,700 students instead of 500. And, you know, my staff in Indian Landing is about 100 and it's probably triple that in Waterloo. So it will be more people for me to get to know, but that's my greatest challenge and I look forward to that. And I hope that students, parents, faculty, whoever, staff will feel comfortable if they have a question calling me, stopping me and asking me, because even now as a building principal, parents will say, well, I didn't want to bother you. It's like, well, that's my job, so feel free to bother me, call me, stop me, and that's what I hope to continue in Waterloo.
What do you think it is that you will miss the most about your current job? You're obviously you work with younger kids now. Some people might say, well, you'll miss the kids the most. What is it that you will miss the most from your current job?
Well, Skoy Ace is just across the parking lot, so I will be sneaking over there regularly. I'll miss the people. I work with tremendous people. They're excellent at what they do. Every single person in the building is outstanding in their role. And I'll miss seeing them every day. That will be hard. And I'll miss the kids because there's, you know, a couple kids that you always sort of worry about. And I'll miss that, but I'll keep tabs on them.
Yeah. All right, well, I want to thank you for coming on. I'm sure we'll be having you on in the future when you get something awesome going on up in Waterloo.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. I appreciate the opportunity.
Definitely. Well, that's going to do it for us today. I'd like to thank Terry for joining us and remind our viewers that Inside the FLX airs Sundays at 7 p.m. on Time Warner Cable Channel 12. For the latest news, updates, and podcasts, they are just a click or a tap away with the Finger Lakes One app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. For Terry Bavis, I'm Josh Durso, reminding you to join us next week on another episode of Inside the FLX.